This is the Greater Greener Georgia podcast. Joining us today on the final episode of our Meet the Candidate series is Gabriel Sanchez, candidate for State House District 42. He tells us his views on redistricting, affordable housing, and school safety. As a reminder, voting is now open. If you'd like to know who's on your ballot and what they stand for, you can visit gcv.branch.vote for your personalized voter guide to help you build your ballot and make an informed decision. Again, that's gcv.branch.vote. Now, enjoy the show.
My name is Gabriel Sanchez. I am the Democratic nominee for Georgia State House District 42, which covers Smyrna, Cumberland, and the Dobbins Air Force Base area.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the chair today, Gabriel. Yeah. Okay, so Smyrna area, what is your favorite? I'm going to give you one. Your favorite place to eat in Smyrna. Now, if you can't just have one, I'll give you two.
That's a great question. It's a little tough for me. It's definitely going to be an Asian spot. I love Asian food.
Me too. So
sorry to my family's restaurant, but...
Which was really good,
food.
By the way,
yes.
During your election party, the primary party. That was great.
Yes. No, it was a great time. They're great. They're beautiful. But I just, you know, personally, Mexican food, I've had it all my life.
Yes, I'm different. Yeah.
Yeah. Switch it up. So for me, I really got a shout out. It's called like Family Wing in Philly, which is like one of those just like random stores in those shopping centers.
Right.
And they got the best wings and fried rice on there.
Okay.
That's so good. I love it.
What's your wing order?
Hot teriyaki.
Hot teriyaki?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's out there. And I mean, it's not really out there. Like, people get like honey hot or honey lemon pepper
and
hot.
I used to get honey hot, but that would be a little too much for, you know. So I got, the teriyaki was a little bit softer, you know, for me. So I was like, I love honey hot, but I had to do the hot teriyaki just to kind of chill out a little bit. But with the shrimp fried rice.
Fried rice? We love some fried rice. I don't eat spicy food, so my wing order is always honey lemon pepper or lemon pepper with blue cheese.
So you still get get the nice seasoning.
Some good flavor. But nothing hot. Nothing hot for sure. Okay, so what are your top three legislative priorities?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I am running because I believe everyone deserves housing, healthcare, and an economy that works for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
To me, we have a government that only works for the people at the top, the major corporations, the wealthy elite. And it's time to change that and make a government that works for regular working people. And that's why I'm running, and that's why I'm not taking any corporate or corporate PAC money. Because we need to get money out of politics, we need to get the corruption out of politics, and we need to actually fight for working people, and that's what I'm gonna do.
Let's talk about how, you know, your organizing just in your career before you started running ties into why you wanted to run and how you've seen our political makeup in Georgia change and how you've been a part of all of that. So I would love to talk about that because I think a lot of people don't know that about you, but I've known you for a while in other spaces before you became a political candidate.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your background in politics and how you've helped other people become change makers in the game.
I appreciate it. No, I mean, you know, it's been a lot of work. And of course, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants here in Georgia. It's a long, you know, history of, you know, organizing and advocacy here. And, you know, I learned from a lot of the best. You know, I actually majored in film, right? So I didn't even imagine to be in this space at all. And so, but I just, you know, was inspired by the 2016 Bernie Sanders campaign and started getting involved in my local politics and realized just how much work needs to be done here and how much I didn't know was going on in our local politics, right? You know, I worked for LGBTQ rights, organizing Latino community, organizing for voting rights. I also worked for the Democratic Party of Georgia back in 2020. I worked for several state representatives. And, you know, through all of that, I just saw how much you can impact on the local level, but how much people aren't aware of how much they can impact on the local level. And it takes a lot less than you would necessarily on the federal level. It doesn't mean we shouldn't stop on that side either, but, you know, there's just so much going on that you can really make a difference. And, you know, it really is crazy to me when I first started working at the state capitol and the first thing I noticed is just the halls are full with corporate lobbyists. Everywhere you see, right?
Running rampant.
Right.
Yeah.
Barely any people, corporate lobbyists. And that just to me shows what their where their priorities are. It's not with the people, it's with the corporations and the wealthy elite. And that kind of corruption, because it is corruption, and people will say it's not. It's corruption. It's bribery. You know, we have to end that. we need a government that's going to respond to what the people want and what the people need, right? Universal health care, majority of Georgians agree with that. Taxing the wealthy, majority of Georgians agree with that, and corporations as well. You know, gun reform, majority of Georgians agree with that. Reproductive freedom, all of these issues that most Georgians want and need, they're not being implemented as policy because they don't, you know, they don't represent the people in Georgia, in our Georgia government. And so, you know, for me, my organizing work was about changing that and always doing everything in my power to engage people on the local level and educate them on what's going on. That's why I did work, you know, to train people on how to do redistricting work back in, when we were doing that in 2021 through 2023, because a lot of people don't realize just how much redistricting impacts your life. You know, our legislators shouldn't choose their voters. It should be the other way around, right?
Right, right.
And so teaching people about how to advocate around that and how to draw their own maps and recommend those maps to the legislature that we can actually, because the people in their communities know what's best for their communities, right?
Right.
You know, organizing Latino community around driver's licenses for all, paid leave for workers, and making sure that we're getting people a path to citizenship, because if the government's not going to do it for us, then we'll do it ourselves.
Right.
And have citizens, you know, or I organize citizenship clinics with my people, Apoyo Latinx, with, you know, fellow organizers like Michelle Sanchez and others, and Susie Duran, to, you know, make sure that we could help people when the government fails to do so, right? And so there's a lot of amazing people that I worked with and learned from the party, from the legislature, from nonprofits, and it really shaped a lot of the work that, you know, I'm doing now. And eventually I felt like I just needed to step up and actually run for office, because, you know, we need voices in there who are going to fight for working people.
Absolutely. Talking about working people, how do you plan to support economic development and job creation in the state when elected?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the biggest things is, right, creating an economy that's centered around working people, because labor is what produces everything that you see in our society. You know, we, the workers, are the foundation of the economy, and yet we're not treated with that respect and dignity, especially in the state of Georgia, where a study showed that we have the unhappiest workforce in the entire country. And it's very obvious why, because the people in power in this state love to exploit workers and pay them as little as possible to gain maximum profit, because that's all they care about is profit. And so for me, it's about ensuring that we have union rights in this state, full union rights, repeal right to work. Make sure that we have, just like we have democracy in the government, we should have democracy in the workplace. People should have a say on their benefits and how they are paid in the workplace, because they're the only reason that the workplace is able to even function in the first place. And, you know, making sure that we have a $20 minimum wage, because we should have, it's past time to have a living wage here in the state of Georgia, and, you know, paid leave for all workers, right? And so to me, you know, when it comes to job creation, it doesn't matter if you're creating jobs if those jobs don't pay people a living wage. There's no point. Right? And so you can talk all you want about all these jobs. If people have to do 2 to 3 jobs anyway, why does it matter? So it shouldn't be controversial to say that you should be able to live on a single income, 40 hours a week, full time, and be able to provide for your family and your loved ones and thrive. And yet that's not the case for most people in Georgia right now.
Absolutely.
People are living paycheck to paycheck. People are struggling. Housing is way too expensive. So economic development to me means making an economy that works for working people.
Absolutely, because the working class is huge. It is, majority of most Americans are working class,
exactly.
Americans.
Exactly.
The biggest class, but the most underserved.
Yeah, people don't realize, the economy is the people that are in it.
Right.
And the vast majority of people are workers. So if you invest in regular people, the economy will grow.
Flourish. It will flourish. So in terms of environment and infrastructure, what are your plans for addressing environmental concerns and then promoting sustainability in the state of Georgia?
I mean, there's a lot.
There's a lot of things.
Yes.
That's a big umbrella question there.
And, you know, I have those priorities of, you know, making sure we can have net zero. Excuse me. We need net zero carbon emissions by 2040. Mm-hmm. We need to address the climate change crisis like it is, an urgent emergency, and we have to treat it that way. And making sure that we're doing everything we can to get full renewable energy made by union jobs, and making sure that we have full expansion of public transit throughout the state of Georgia. But what a lot of people don't realize is the obstacles towards those goals aren't just policy related, right? The thing is, the biggest obstacle to all of these environmental goals is the huge multi-billion dollar corporations that are profiting off of gas and oil and making sure that, you know, they want to stop any of those progress as much as possible because it's bad for their profits.
Right.
Right. And so until we acknowledge that and recognize that they are the enemy when it comes to this issue and that we have to stop them, then we're not going to be able to actually see the changes that we want to see. You know, the 100 corporations create 71% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions, right?
Yep.
They are the problem. And until we recognize that and acknowledge that and fight back against them and show that we're going to fight up against their greed that is killing our planet and killing the state, then we're not going to be able to do it. We have to acknowledge that and we have to fight back against it. And that's another reason why we have to get money out of politics.
Absolutely. Money out of politics, that is, I've been hearing that a lot. So a lot of people are really hammering on a lot of candidates. I love to see the unity on that. Is truly just saying, hey, we need to we need to get some transparency. We need to take this money out and make sure that we're actually fighting for the people. So in transportation and public utilities, I think this is probably one of the worst years for people that are Georgia Power customers. Everybody had a huge surge. I think there were Facebook threads. People were like, hey, anybody notice their Georgia Power bill go up like 40%? Mine was 200, now it's 700. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So how are you going to be supporting, you know, help in those utility sectors and things like that for your constituents?
Yeah, it's insane what we're seeing in this state. And it's, again, going back to this, you know, Georgia Power, you know, a private company.
Right.
Is putting profits before people. And the Public Service Commission, who is supposed to regulate and support us and represent the people, are instead representing them because they get paid by them. So what we have to do is we have to recognize that there's Public Service Commission elections next year in 2025, and we have to elect leaders who are actually going to fight for renewable energy, for making public utilities a full public good, no private profits included in that, and making sure that we elect people who understand the urgency of the climate change situation that we're in and will do everything they can to stop it. And, you know, I will be championing that as well and educating people on that. You know, we actually, the last event y'all had, you know, I was talking to some of the security y'all had, and they didn't even know about the Public Service Commission and what they did, right? People don't even realize. In the 2021 runoff, people don't remember, there was actually three races.
Daniel Blackman.
Yep.
Daniel Blackman.
There wasn't just Ossoff and Warnock. There was a third candidate who would have been the first black man ever elected to the Public Service Commission, and he lost because no one voted. People, not enough people voted down ballot.
Yeah.
Right? It's even though Ossoff and Warnock won. And that's awful, right? We had an opportunity. And so we need to make sure we're educating people on these important local offices that are a huge impact. The Public Service Commission is directly responsible for your rates and your public utilities. If you want someone who's going to help maintain, you know, lower those costs for you and actually build a sustainable grid that's actually going to help the environment and help the people in our communities, you need to make sure we elect people in the Public Service Commission who are going to do that. Right now, it's all five of them are Republicans, and you see the results.
Here we are.
Yep.
$700 power bills and all of the things that people are very upset about, and it's hurting. It is hurting real people.
Exactly.
And I think that's what a lot of people don't recognize is the decisions that are made are now affecting real people.
Exactly.
And so little by little, people probably didn't notice the $5, the $10. But we start jumping up $100, $200, $300, $400, and we're blaming it on, oh, you're just using things a little more in the summer.
That's what they do.
We're like, my air is on 78. There's no way I'm using it a little more.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And so I think that once they tap into this is now affecting the real, that's going to truly come in and start making the changes. And I think public service is the most important election that no one knows about.
Yep.
And I was on that campaign to help Warnock, Ossoff, and Blackman. I remember when we started canvassing for him as well. And it was like, oh, who's, you know, what is that for? And so I definitely think the education around the Public Service Commission is, as we've been doing the work on the ground, is becoming more and more, but we still have a long way to go to get us over the hump in 2025 to make sure that we get some good people in office. How do you plan to support our agriculture industry while also addressing environmental concerns?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, I'm going to, you know, I like to be honest as well, and I still have a lot to learn around, you know, agricultural stuff, but I do believe that there is a way to balance out the needs of that industry with environmental concerns. Actually, one of the things that I think, you know, that I do know about the agriculture industry is that it's being heavily, heavily monopolized, right, in the state of Georgia. It's not, people think about agriculture and they think, oh, the local farmer.
Right.
That's not really the case anymore, right? The market is being, you know, fully conglomerated into very few corporations, and those people only care about profits, right? And they don't care what they do with their environment. I think if we invested more in local farmers and independent farmers who really know their land mm-hmm. and know how to treat it right, they'd be more willing to actually be more open to those kind of environmental concerns because they actually care about the land that they're toiling because they live there. And so for me, I think it's investing more into, and it's also good for people because then we don't have all these toxic chemicals in our food and instead have local farmers creating natural and organic products that will actually be good for our health as well. And so it's a win-win for everyone. So I think we should incentivize having more local and independent farmers.
Absolutely. I think just our farmers are so important and they truly are served and then underserved. So we give them things and then we leave them to dry and don't provide a lot of education around X or accessibility to whatever forms they have to fill out.
I mean, this is what Republicans do all the time. They pretend like they care about farmers, but really they're just lining the pockets of huge corporate agricultural, big agro essentially, and saying they're supporting farmers when they're originally just supporting the people who are ruining local farmers' lives and livelihoods. So.
Absolutely. Farm work is very, very near and dear to my heart. Here at GCD, we've done a lot of farm bill work, which is still, we're still on the old farm bill, and it's expiring at the end of the month. So at the federal level, we even have those holdbacks. So farmers are getting a few benefits from the Inflation Reduction Act, but some of those things need to be implemented within the farm bill. And so we've been held up on that for a couple of years now. And so more into public safety and things like that, how do you plan to ensure to protect the safety and future of Georgia's children?
Well, as, you know, we just had the school shooting in Appalachia the other day, and, you know, it's a completely unavoidable tragedy that, you know, it's just insane to me that after the countless stories, the countless, you know, children that have been killed, in my entire lifetime, Columbine happened when I was 2 years old. You know, and the inaction that we've seen, it's insane to me that they'd rather put the NRA's money that they get over, you know, children in our state. And so we need gun reform immediately. You know, I think about, you know, I have in my generation around over 50 cousins, and almost all of them live in the Metroland area, and almost all of them are in the K-12 system right now. And so I think about them, right? And to me, I don't know how these people who do have families can allow this to happen and not think about the solutions to actually, you know, fix it. And so we need gun reform immediately. In regards to, you know, other issues with our children, I mean, they're attacking trans kids. They're attacking LGBTQ kids in general. They're attacking our schools by banning books and attacking our children's education and their freedom to learn, right? And so everything the Republicans are doing is attacking our children, right? They don't care about families. They pretend like they do, but they don't. When you actually look at the policy they implement, they're defunding our schools by using the school vouchers that are just a ploy to privatize our school system and fund, you know, again, their donors who want to have private schools that they can make money off of. That's the only reason they're doing it. There's no other reason, because school vouchers have been proven time and time again to never actually help the people who need it. Mm-hmm. And so it's they're defunding our public schools. They're banning books. They're oppressing LGBTQ kids, and they're letting them die in our classrooms because of gun violence and in the streets as well. And so there's we need a change in our leadership to actually help fight for our children and our families here in Georgia, and that's what I will do every single day at the Capitol.
Absolutely. Gun reform is near and dear to my heart. I had a friend I lost a friend to a mass shooting in the state of Tennessee back in 2018. It's fine. And I just, you think that it'll never happen to you, or not that it'll happen to somebody that you know. Like, you just don't wake up and say, oh, well, you know? And it was a normal day, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, we got the news. And I think that for some people, unfortunately, they won't feel it until they feel it, you know? And I think it's a very important conversation that we should be having about, you know, the safety of our teachers, the safety of the classroom, the right to learn, and all the things that we care about here, the right to have, you know, economic justice around all of the things that build into the system in which people suffer and children suffer, are so many things that we're trying to work on.
And all that is connected too, right? Yeah. I mean, like, if you want to have your children to have a thriving future, you got to build an economy that actually is going to help that with affordable housing, that they can actually buy a home and sometime in their life, you know, universal health care, and making sure that they have a living wage when they go out to work. So
absolutely. How do you, in terms of livable wages, how do you plan to address the income inequality and then support also support those low-income families in the state once you're in office?
Yeah, I mean, that's really why, you know, I talk about housing, healthcare, and economy for all.
Right.
Because we don't have a government that is, you know, supporting these fundamental rights. You know, these are fundamental rights that people should have, and they don't. And we can't afford it. We just don't do it because it doesn't make a profit for certain people. And so, you know, for me, housing is the number one issue that I'm hearing at the door. The housing crisis we're seeing in Atlanta, in the metro Atlanta area in Georgia, is insane. It's the most inflated market in the entire country. Mm. Three companies own over 19,000 homes. We need to stop these corporations from buying up all these properties, jacking up the prices, and even making it so that people are permanent renters, right? And so we need to hold them accountable, regulate that, and make sure, because for me, a home should be for a family or for a person, not for a huge corporation. Mm-hmm. And so we need to regulate that. We need to legalize rent control in Georgia. It's currently illegal. So we need to legalize it. We need to make sure that we're investing fully in affordable and public housing, because that's the main way we're going to be able to provide housing for those who need it the most. And so that's something that is a huge priority for me. Of course, universal health care, and like I talked about before, living wage and paid leave for workers and union rights as well.
Absolutely. And how will you address racial and social justice issues when you're in office?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have the divisive concepts law that bans teaching of systemic racism in schools because they know that it exists and they don't want people to know about it.
To be educated on it,
yeah. You know, it's real. It's happening. We see it. I mean, we saw it with Ahmaud Arbery and the shooting there. And, you know, the hate crime legislation is not enough, right? That's only after the fact. You need to talk about solving the root causes of this racism and how to stop it from even happening in the first place,
right?
And so we need to put protections in place for our people to make sure that we have, I mean, we don't even have like a Civil Rights Act of Georgia, right? Like this, Georgia is one of the only states in the country that doesn't have a similar legislation to the National Civil Rights Act in state law,
right?
And so, you know, we don't have those protections in the state of Georgia. The federal government has to come in and do it for us. You know, we need to make sure that we're investing in our black and brown communities. And that's how we, you know, things like a living wage and paid leave for workers will benefit those communities the most, because we're the ones who are underpaid the most and exploited the most, right? And, you know, we need to make sure that we're investing in housing opportunities, especially in black and brown communities, because those are the people who are facing the housing crisis the most. And the environment as well, right? When you look at things like the Cop City facility, they're not being built in white neighborhoods, right? You know? And, you know, these environmental concerns are almost always put into black and brown neighborhoods. And, you know, we need to make sure that climate change is going to impact those communities first.
Right.
We have to protect and we have to, you know, invest in sustainability so that that doesn't happen in the first place. You know, we saw with some of the hurricanes in the past few years that have decimated places in Southwest Georgia.
Right.
You know, I've been down there for local elections in the past and just seen the devastation. And years later, half of the houses are still gone and haven't been rebuilt, right?
Right.
And so we have to treat our people truly equitably and equally in the state. And when people are suffering, make sure that we're putting the resources where they should be and not and only in certain communities and not in others, right? And so, I have to talk about, you know, as a son of immigrants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our immigrant community is just, you know, they just toss us to the side. They use us for our labor and toss us to the side like we're nothing.
Yeah.
And exploit us for our labor. Don't pay us living wages, especially for undocumented immigrants. Don't let undocumented immigrants have licenses. My parents had to deal with that when I was growing up. You know, making sure that they don't qualify for in-state tuition. Because apparently we're not human beings equal to everyone else. And, you know, that kind of treatment is despicable, especially when you consider the fact that this economy would not be anywhere near it is today without immigrant communities on the backs of us, you know, providing the food, building the homes in our communities here in Georgia. So, you know, we should be given the respect and dignity we deserve for being the foundation of this economy in here in Georgia and the society here.
Absolutely. I think that that's a huge conversation, especially when all, you know, the job, the jobs are available to have.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, they're taking jobs. No, they're not. They're getting the jobs that are available and that we are making available.
You know, every economist that actually knows what they're talking about, the majority of economists have agreed that the reason that our economy didn't completely tank during the pandemic like other countries is because of our immigration, because they filled the jobs. We had a labor shortage in this state, in this country, because of COVID, and the only reason we were able to fill it was because of immigration. So don't tell me that immigrants are bad for the economy. They're actually great for the economy, and we should be treating them with the respect they deserve.
Absolutely, especially some people who've lived here for years, and they, you know, have to get however much money it takes to become a citizen and processes, and the inaccessibility of even that process of making sure that it's accessible for people to do that process is something that it certainly needs to be addressed and worked on, because it's an important part of our population, especially in the state of Georgia, and to our economy and our infrastructure as well. As a candidate, when you become elected and speak it into existence, what do you want people to remember about you? What is the one impact that you'd like to leave on this state? In your perfect world, if everything goes the way you want it to go, what is the thing that you want people to remember about Gabriel Sanchez?
Wow, that's a big...
I know,
that's
right?
Crazy.
That's deep.
I mean, there's so much. It's just, there's so much I want to do. I'm in here for the long haul, you know?
Yeah.
I love Georgia. It's my home state. I was born and raised here, so... I mean, for me, I just want people to remember that they can change things, right? That just because things are the way they are now doesn't mean this is how things have to be. That you can actually envision a future that's radically different than what you see today, and that you can actually make it happen. And it might take a long time. It might be a very frustrating process. It's a lot of work, blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of frustration, but it can happen if we all come together as a community and organize together to make it happen. And I just want to be able to give people that hope again and optimism that we can build a better future for ourselves. We just have to know who the enemy is and know how to fight back against them and organize to make it happen. And that's what my mission is to do that and organize people to make it happen. So
that's amazing. So speaking on organizing people, how do you intend to expand accessibility and transparency within the House and in the state?
Yeah, I mean, that's been my work that I've been doing for so long now, is going into communities and educating them about things like redistricting and voting rights and issues the Latino community faces. And, you know, and now even with, you know, my TikToks, you know,
right.
It's like people don't realize just how much of a good of a tool it could be to educate people, especially young people, on stuff they don't even are aware about. You know, I talked about the utility bills in one of my most recent TikToks. I got over 20,000 views. People were like, this is insane. I didn't even know about this, right? And how they can, and the most important part for me is always having a call to action at the end to know how people can get involved to make a difference and change it. And that's always, as an organizer, the thing you always have to do is giving people a call to action to join in the movement. And that's exactly what I'm going to do as a legislator as well, is be an organizer in office, educating people on what's going on, telling them how they can get involved, and engaging them constantly throughout the time, whether it's an election season or not. I'm always going to be there doing town halls or texting voters or talking to them, and I want to be open to people. You know, you can contact me freely to talk about the issues so that we can work together to make it happen, right? And it's not just me, right? We have to build this movement across Georgia and build and fight and vote for progressives who are really going to fight for that, like Devin Barrington Ward in City Council, for example, and, you know, other, you know, great progressives that we have on the state legislature side. You know, we have Rural Roman, the only Palestinian state legislator, and we have a lot of people who can flip seats as well, who are, you know, doing great work. And so we need to make sure that we're doing everything in our power to elect progressive leaders throughout the state of Georgia to make that happen, and not be afraid to go to Republican areas or, you know, rural areas in general, because they tend to be forgotten about a lot, and talk to them and tell them how they can get involved. You know, we should be doing tours across the state of Georgia as a party, as a coalition, and talking to them about how the Republicans are screwing them over and why you need to make sure we fight for progressive values. And so that's something that I definitely want to work on as a legislator and also in coalition with my colleagues. So.
Okay, so how can we find you? Where can we follow you? How can people get involved with your campaign?
Yeah.
Let people know.
So, you know, I, as like I said, I'm an organizer. I'm a movement candidate. I want to build a movement and work with you to make things happen. So please join our campaign however you can. You can volunteer. Go to SanchezForGeorgia.com to learn more how to volunteer. We knock on doors every Saturday. We call voters every Wednesday, and we're going to be doing more as we get closer to the election. If you can't help in that regard, no worries. Contribute to our campaign. We're not taking any corporate or corporate PAC money, so we rely only on individuals like yourselves to make sure that we can fund all the things we need to get our message out to voters, like mail, like literature, like yard signs, and making sure we're paying our people well to get our message out there. And so please support our campaign, SanchezForGeorgia.com. And if you want to follow us on social media, it's at Sanchez, the number 4, Georgia, on all of our relevant social media platforms. So please follow us. Please join us. Let's work together to build a Georgia that works for all of us. So, and thank you, Mia, and thank you to GCV for supporting me and this great interview. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Gabriel, for joining me on my chair today. Yes.